Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Well, I'm looking forward to this one. On Voices of Montana, the state GOP has a new chair. It's Art Wittig, and a new lawsuit, too. Art's going to join us here in just a little bit. There's been a convention, contentious at that. The 9 Republican senators were blocked from voting. 3 have sued to get their votes back. And it's the Montana Republican Party. Here's a question that I think everybody is asking, not just of the Montana Republican Party, but of our national group as well. Do we see ourselves moving ideologically toward gatekeeping? Is it more of a tighten the party brand, vet the primaries? Or what about stay big tent to kind of secure some of these recent gains from the last election? We'll talk with Art Wittig about that and other issues here in Montana on Voices of Montana. It's kind of a family fight within the Montana Republican Party. There was a number of senators that specifically collaborated in that last session with the Democrats and thus really giving Democrats control of that Senate, which they did not earn at the ballot box, all right? So there are some questions as we talk and chat over this, and we see it, I don't know if that's blowing up, but I we're hearing robocalls, we're seeing probably people who have more in common than they do not, so to speak, kind of fighting these things out. And this is all leading up to this next election as well. And maybe even more, right? As we talked earlier, what does it mean from the national party standpoint when you look at, is it moderating or are more people actually becoming conservative because they are, for me, putting a little more thought into what makes good government? So Art Wittig is joining us now, former state senator, representative as well, majority leader, attorney by trade, and now the GOP chair of the Montana Republican Party. Art, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm great, Tom, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
You didn't waste any time. You know, people say that politics don't get started until after Labor Day, and here it is, the next day after Labor Day, and you're wanting to talk. So good for you.
Well, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. And these are questions. Honestly, this has been in my mind since November of last year. With Trump back in office, there were a lot of exposure to some ills in the Democratic Party. I can put it that way. I've said it a little more aggressively earlier. Nationally, I think that was recognized and not rewarded, and I'm thankful for that. But what does that mean now? I'm thinking post-Trump. What kind of conservative party is the Montana GOP or the national GOP? And the Democrats are having the same issues as well. Many in their party believe that they're not reflective of this great big middle America. What's the conversation as you guys get set for this next election, Art, about all of it? How do you analyze all of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think parties are important. Contrast is important. Typically, people align themselves with Republicans if they want some basic things: lower taxes, limited government, less government. But frankly, some of the best advocates for growing the Republican Party, Tom, have been Democrats. I mean, look what they've done in the last few years. They've tried to normalize things. You know, people feel less secure, less safe, less prosperous. And, you know, but one thing that Trump has done is, you know, call out people. And in fact, at times name things. He was the first guy that talked about fake news, right? People need to believe their eyes. And he was somebody who could sit, you know, say, hey, listen, you should believe your eyes and call it out. And I think more Democrats don't like the extreme left tilt of their party. And so where do they go? And so Republicans, I think, have this great opportunity. We've been seeing, you know, red states becoming redder, including Montana. You know, Montana, as you know, used to be a bit blue, and then it became purple, and now it's becoming red. We have all 9 statewide offices. We have all federal offices, all statewide state offices. And we can get on any given day 55% of the vote. So what changed? I think it is people wanting that alternative. They want authenticity. They want conservatism. They want less government. They want more freedom. And so, you know, that's how Republicans message things. You know about Republican messaging, right, from your past.
Sure.
And voters have responded to that. And I think that's why there was such a reaction by the party this last session, you know, where here you have Democrats losing all over the country. And so all of a sudden there's this legislature. And at the close of the legislature, as you know, the leadership always has a press conference. And here at the press conference, the Democrat press conferences, how great the session was, how they were happy that they got everything that they wanted. And all of a sudden, people are scratching their head. Well, wait a second. You know, we're Republicans. We voted a majority Republican House, majority Republican Senate. And how can that be? And here's the dirty little secret that people are going to start figuring out. Most property owners in Montana are going to have a terrible property tax increase. When they get their notices in October, they already got their assessments, saying that the general real estate market is going up. Their property assessments are going up. We already got those last month, right? But in October, they're going to get the notice from their county saying what their proposed taxes are going to be. And they're going to, I think they're going to be amazed and very upset. And so how did that happen? Well, it was because a few Republicans in the legislature joined the Democrat Party to pass an atrocious property tax bill. They didn't call it tax relief, of course. They called it tax reform. So they gave a benefit to a few people, and the consequence wasn't government spending a little bit less with taxes going down. Oh, no. It was a tax shift. And most property taxpayers are going to be paying for the few that got a tax break.
And I think there's time to pick that up. I think that's very true. But that's part of a bigger and maybe a different conversation that I'm not sure there was enough courage in enough people to take on right now. Let me go back. Art Wittig again, the new GOP chair and a longtime public servant in the GOP party, as well as served in the Senate and the legislature and the House. What created that coalition then? You go back to those 9 senators who collaborated with the Democrats. And I don't mean necessarily the rules that created that. What was the movement then that created that? When you talk about analyzing this, where are you guys at on that?
Well, it's a good question, but what you have to understand is it was a culmination of years and years of a certain activity. And that is, I was first elected in 2010. I served 6 years. But for the last 20 years or so, what we would call rhinos or lefty Republicans threatened Republican leadership that if you didn't give us what we wanted, we would not vote you in as House Speaker or Senate President. It's been happening every session, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And that lefty faction has been growing. They've done their best through lawfare and a lot of other things to remove conservatives. They've frankly dispirited conservatives. It's tough, you know, every 2 years to give up your business and leave your family for 4 months, 5 months. It's tough. And people said, well, wait a second, we're Republican. Our voters want us to be Republican, and we keep getting thwarted every 2 years. And so this session, though, it was a little bit different, where that threat to leadership wasn't wasn't accepted by the leaders. And they said, no, we're not going to accept your threat. You're not going to get your committee assignments you want. You're not going to do, you know, all these things that you want. So all of a sudden you had open rebellion, right? And that's where the nine, it just became more public. It has happened for the last 20 years. So what that triggered was a bunch of people in the state. What is a party? You know, is it an idea? Is it a brand? Is it an ideal? I think what people forget is it's people. You know, it's a group of people who associate together to demand certain government policies that they think are best for the country or the state or the society, right? That's what a party is. It's a collection of people. And we have, the party has county officials and precinct people. And, you know, it's the folks who knock on the doors, raise the money, host the dinners, allow the candidates to come and speak and debate, right? And I think they just had enough of it. I was happy in political retirement. And, you know, you mentioned the legislative stuff, but I was on the Republic National Committee for 8 years.
Oh, thank you.
And then I left a year ago, and I was completely happy in retirement. But I think people were just so outraged, and they were looking for a change. The Republican rank and file was looking for a change, and I kept getting calls from all the different spectrums. And they said, we need somebody with experience. We need somebody with some vision. We need somebody that we don't want to lose our gains, right? We don't want to lose the 9 statewide seats that we have, but we want to grow on those gains. But it's hard to do that if you have a quote Republican majority legislature acting badly. And so, the focus of the party is to keep all of those statewide seats for sure. But we also have to do something where the people who go and vote, who have certain expectations, when they vote as for a Republican candidate, they have certain expectations. We have to honor those people. And these people who, I mean, you've seen it, Tom, right? Somebody gets elected. Why do they want to run? They feel strongly about something. They talk to their friends and family. They get elected. They get to Helena. All of a sudden, they get swarmed by lobbyists who pretend that they're important, who want them to vote their particular interest in, right? So these guys get elected, these incumbents get elected, and they start thinking that they're special and that they can do anything that they want. And they forget that the reason they got elected, it wasn't because people all knew their name. I bet you anyone, especially these conservative districts, if you polled people, did you vote Republican? I mean, you can look at the votes and you ask those people, do you know who you voted for as your House member or your Senate member? Most of them are going to say no, but we voted because we like Republicanism. We like Republicans. So these guys that have gotten elected and have decided that they will side with Democrats on key things. Leadership, agenda, priority bills, taxes, spending. They're doing a disservice to all those people who voted for them.
Let me get in here too, because what about when you get elected? Okay, whether you're going to win a primary, the way it's run in Montana, it's primary elections, general elections. When you get there, you are supposed to be reflective of your district. Not only how do you balance it? We got like 2.5 minutes in this one. So, you know, when they come back and say, well, my base is more this, or I'm going to be more reflective of the entire representation. That makes a lot of sense too.
Oh yeah. Clearly you have to vote your district, but if you were voted with 60% of the people and those people were Republican, they don't expect you to raise taxes on them. They don't expect you to grow government. They don't expect you to grow spending 12%. And so, you know, all of a sudden now we're asking questions of all the candidates. We're sending them questionnaires. What makes you a Republican? And their heads are exploding.
Yeah, right? I love that question.
They're talking about party bosses and, you know, you're demanding loyalty. We're not demanding loyalty. It's not like you have to have a lockstep that you're voting the same on everything. We just want honesty. You know, if you're going to declare as a Republican, you should be honest with the people. And I think people, the Republican rank and file, they're upset that they feel like they've been lied to. They feel like there's not integrity there. And so this is a very basic fundamental thing. I think it goes beyond platform. I think it goes beyond conservatism. I think it goes beyond the Constitution. And really, that's happening across the country. Trump did well in many places because people saw him as authentic, right? He was willing to speak the truth to power. So we have this great opportunity. We can grow our gains. But these people who think that they can self-declare, you know, Montana is very unique. We are open primary state. People can vote for whoever they want in the primary. They can be a Democrat this year and a Republican next year. Candidates can self-declare however they want. Very unique, right?
Yeah.
But then if you want to associate with Republicans, the rank and file Republicans have the right to associate with who they want. They have a right to ask those people, why are you running as a Republican? Why did you vote the way you voted and gave Democrats all these priorities?
Art Wittig is with us here, the new chair of the Montana GOP. As we're talking about, you know, is it, do you tighten up the brand? Is it more big tent stuff? And I think a lot of things that we saw in this last legislative session, fodder for a lot of understanding, I think, and dialogue. And Art, I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on and rolling this over here, because I there's in my mind some unnecessary campaigning going on at this time, but that's, I know the nature of these types of things, but I very much appreciate this. I'm going to take this call from Skip because he's going right where we need to go next. Skip, listening in Hamilton, KLYQ. Good morning, Skip. You're on the air with GOP Chair Art Wittig.
Good morning, Tom, and thank you, and I hope you had a nice Labor Day holiday. And sir, I just thought I better ask, because I do personally know an awful lot of legislators just as a private citizen. I kind of get involved over here in Western Montana, especially River Valley County. My senator happens to be Jason Ellsworth. And I am looking forward to this next primary session because we get pretty active here in River Valley County. You probably know some of the issues that are going on, even with our central committee and even some lawsuits that are waiting to get through the Supreme Court about how we handle business here. And so I want to know if you can explain the way that questionnaire went out to, I'll say, candidates. I know some that are right here in River Valley County that are taking that very seriously, and they want to make sure their answers are, I think there's some writing that they can do in their answers. They want to make sure that they're listened to. And then my question is, what are you going to do with the information compiled from individuals? What's the purpose of the questionnaire, as an example? Are you using it to decide or a select group decide who's going to be funded as a down ticket candidate by the GOP? Are you using it to compile information about
Skip? That's great. I'm gonna turn it. That's a really good question. I'm gonna turn it right over now because what are you going to do with this? You know, Art. I've got some of the questions here. What's the role of government? Do you support the Montana Republican Party platform? How could that platform be improved? Those are some examples. What principles guide you in determining how you vote on spending bills? But I really like that question that Skip's approaching here. So then they answer, you don't like these answers, then, you know, what do you do with this information, Art?
Yeah, well, I think it's a good question, Skip. When I got elected in June, I said I wanted three things. I wanted to form a conservative governance committee we can't just be a party where we're making statements. We have to work on winning elections and governing and being honest with people who vote Republican. And so that committee was tasked with putting together a questionnaire, sending it out to every person who files as a candidate. It's voluntary. They don't have to return it. But if they do return it, we want to be able to understand, since Montana allows people to self-declare party affiliation when they run, and frankly, self-declare party affiliation when they vote, we wanted to understand why these candidates want to run as a Republican, just like they have a right to associate how they want. We as a party infrastructure have a right to associate with who we want. And so I think it's still a work in progress. We don't know what action will be taken, but once we get all of these responses, I think it would be important to match the answers with if they have been in the session, if they have been a legislator, what they've done in the legislature. If they're a new candidate, it's harder to do that type of comparison, but at least ask them, why do they want to run as a Republican? And frankly, would they even want a party endorsement? We've talked about, you know, how much will, become involved. We still haven't made decisions. As far as primary activity, we haven't even made a decision if we're going to endorse.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's an important thing to allow us to, you know, grade candidates. And if they've been a stalwart to the party, you know, I don't know if we're going to have letter grades like schools, but, you know, they'd be an A. And if they haven't supported their party or party principles, or frankly, they haven't been honest with their people, you know, they shouldn't get an A.
So you guys are walking out as well. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. You guys are walking it out as well, it sounds like. I mean, I think our whole country is trying to walk this out a little bit. Think we've seen. Go ahead.
You know, Tom, you said, is this a big tent party or should we be vetting? I think that's a false choice. I think we can have both, right? Mm-hmm. We can be big and we can grow our party. At the same time, we can do it with honesty and integrity. And if you are going to decide that you don't want to run as a Democrat or you don't want to run as an independent and you do want to run as a Republican, knowing that so many voters vote ticket, they vote party ticket, right? They should have some expectation as to how you're going to vote once you get up there. And to your point, Tom, they do have to represent their entire district. If it's a swing district, if it's a split district, you know, clearly that those type of votes that those elected officials make is totally different.
Yeah, I mean,
then if they're in a district that's heavily, heavily red, with redistricting, look at all these deep blue districts. Those Democrats are from deep, deep blue districts. They're going to have to vote deeper blue because that's who their constituents are. Well, there are many districts, including in River Valley County, Skip, that if you look at those vote totals, they're very conservative. And are their representatives voting in a very conservative way? So, you know, other states are doing that.
You look at those vote totals and you say they're conservative, but they don't necessarily always reflect that. You know, conservatism is a range of beliefs. And I know you're trying to pin it down, and I get that. Let me ask this.
But in River Valley County, let's say that I didn't pull the numbers, but let's say it was high 50% voting for Trump. Okay, you would expect that legislator to be more conservative than coming from a district where they voted 51% for Trump.
You would expect anybody from the bitter lip being a little more conservative than a national Democrat. Let me ask this though, okay? I want to know what the reaction has been. And throw in there too, leadership has to earn those votes as well. Leadership cannot make assumptions about loyalty. You know, certainly they can make some assumptions about Republican platform and Republican and conservative values, but they can't make assumptions about loyalty. They also have to earn those votes. What's been the reaction? What's been the reaction of people? And I know we've had over the past few months a number of different opinions about this. What's the reaction out there, Art?
I think that's a great question, Tom. When people are voting honestly as Republicans, they have no problem filling out this quick little questionnaire. They have no issue with it. Why are there some people, why are their heads exploding? Why are they mad because they're being questioned? Why are they, frankly, you know, I've seen some press where the people responded by putting it in their local press. And what are they doing? They're attacking the party. I mean, the Republican Party. They're attacking me. They're attacking, how dare you even ask me this question? Okay. If you were really a Republican, why wouldn't you take your column inches in your local paper and attack the Democrats and their policies of, you know, lefty, you know, government, transgenderism, more government spending?
Because they feel they're being attacked by the party.
Why?
So their response
But why are they being attacked? First of all, they're not being attacked by the party. They're being questioned by the party.
Okay.
But if they voted like people, like their colleagues in the party, why would they care? I just think it's, their reaction is fascinating. And I think it's telling. And I think it's because they're either frustrated that they're being called out. They're upset that somehow the truth is going to come out about their voting record. You know, I don't think that, you know, that these nine senators you talked about, Tom, that were censured, I don't think that they thought it was going to be such a public deal.
Right.
But what's so funny is they keep bringing it up. You know, so at the June convention, there were a number of people there, including legislators, who said, why should you be entitled to vote at this convention? You haven't been an active supporting Republican. And so, you know, the majority of people convened from all over the state. We have people from all the counties. They voted, and it was a clear majority. Those people should not be able to vote at the convention.
What was the vote? So it was a clear majority, I heard. But what was the vote? I mean, I've been curious about.
I think it's like 65%.
Okay.
It was 65%, okay. Which is huge.
It is.
And so now what are they doing? They're suing the party. So we have to come up with legal fees to defend those 65% of the people who voted that way. Okay? And so you're saying you're a Republican, but you're attacking you're attacking rank and file Republicans. You're attacking the party. So, you know, I and you know what? If that's how you're going to do it, and Skip, you said, do you know Jason Ellsworth? He's the lead appellant in this group of three. Not all nine showed up at the convention. I think it was only six or seven. Not all nine are suing the party. I think it's only three, but Jason is the lead appellant. Okay. Yeah. Why? Why are you doing that?
Well, that's a whole different story. That's an individual representative or state senator who's gone awry of not just the party, but government in my mind.
But I do think that, you know, I mean, in Texas, you can't even get on the ballot as a Republican unless you submit your application to the party people. There are other states around the country right now who are dealing with the same thing.
Let me ask this.
What they're trying. Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, we're going to run out of time here. How does this end?
Well, I think how it ends is people getting more involved with their party, getting more involved, becoming precinct people, getting more involved with their counties, we were losing people, Tom. We were losing people because they were dispirited. They believed that it was all a bunch of crap, you know, that there was this uniparty. It didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat. I have over 50 new people enthused to get involved and volunteer for the party since June. I think we're going to grow the party. And does it mean that some people will be upset? Maybe. But I think that, and you're going to have a much different outcome in the next legislature. Hopefully you're going to get some real property tax reductions, right? You know, hopefully you're going to get some better election integrity bills. Hopefully you're going to get some judicial transparency bills through.
Spending.
So a lot of the things.
Spending? That, get spending down? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're in this kind of post-COVID, hangover time period. Well, a lot of that federal money is going to go away.
Yeah.
So we have to tighten up our belts. We have to get, you know, just like people who are paying the taxes have to.
Hey, right? Art, I'm out of time here. I've appreciated this conversation, and I'm looking forward to picking it up down the road as well.
Sounds good, Tom. You just give me a call and we'll talk.
I will. Yeah, I appreciate that. And you guys have questions that you want to address to Art, feel free to text us here to 781-627-5483. Send me an email, or Tom at voicesofmontana.com. GOP Chair Art Wittig. Art, thank you so much. I do appreciate this, and looking forward to chatting with you down the road. And have yourself a dang good year. Okay. All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom. See ya.
Yeah. GOP Chair Art Wittig. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.